you down. We're the only team all Carlton knows. With all the champions, they like to send us. We'll keep our end up, and they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dark Blues.
A very good morning as you begin your AFL footy weekend right here on 91.3 Sport FM's Breakfast with the Blues. This show is brought to you by the official WA Network supporter group of the Carlton Football Club, the WA Blues. Your host today are myself, Chris Brownie, joined by Craig Bradford, Mal Hall and Jesse Goldsworthy. On the show this morning, we look at AFL and Blues news, as well as who's putting their hand up from the reserves, and we look back at the game against the Hawks and preview the upcoming game against the Swans. Special guest live interview today is WA Blues major sponsor and general manager of Hyundai WA, Michael Berros. We cross live to the Hyphen, David Rees-Jones, for the much-anticipated The Shirt Front, provide information on WA Blues events and anything else in footy we can squeeze into the hour. But Craig, we couldn't do this show without our loyal sponsors.
No, we certainly can't, and we'd like to thank WA Blues major sponsor Hyundai WA, platinum sponsors Allmark & Associates, Master Picture Framers, Tech Tiger, Barbara O'Butcher and ICU Finance Group.
Thank you, Craig, for that. Well, good Anytime. Morning, Jesse and Mal.
Morning.
How are
morning,
we?
Guys.
What a great day, eh?
Yeah, it is.
We're up and about.
What a great week.
Yep. It's not looking too good outside.
No,
the light show driving down was amazing and spectacular.
It was good.
But, yeah, no, we're all up and about. Let's hope we can get two in a row.
Definitely. Time to back it up this week.
Back it up.
One to go for two in a row.
Yep.
I love that. And Mel's, even though we're on a radio show and you can't see this, Mel's sitting in the Indigenous jumper that will be running out tomorrow, and it looks fantastic.
It does. I was pretty excited when it arrived yesterday. Yeah, just in time.
Oh, I just missed out.
But look, what we're going to do, because we're up and about and we've had a great win, let's go into the review of last Saturday's game against the Hawks, mate.
Yeah. Look, first time beating the Hawks at the MCG since 2000.
Long time.
It was 2002.
I can actually
And it was
tell
Sam
you,
Walsh's, the day Sam Walsh was born.
The 2nd of July, 2000.
2nd of July. So, yeah. Sam Walsh, the first, the day he was born.
His birthday. Good birthday present for him.
Yeah, exactly. I felt during the game, sometimes we lost our way a little bit, but we can't be too critical because at least we got over the line. We wanted to bank the 4 points away, and we did so. The first and third quarters we played some pretty good football.
I was getting a bit intense in the second quarter.
The second especially, the red time goals, that's a massive problem for us at the moment, the red time goals. If we could just stop that happening.
How lucky, you're talking about the red, and I totally agree with you, because we always get scored on in the red time in the quarters. But how lucky were those couple of goals?
That one before half time.
Yeah.
Please.
Oh, that one that we dribbled through.
Bounced, yeah.
It was just a snap over.
I thought we dominated the first half. We should have been further in front.
Yeah, we definitely did. Look, Always did a really good job, I thought. We spoke about Impey last week.
Yes,
I think he looked like he went to Impey and actually nullified him a little bit.
Yep.
And also Always got his two goals, which was pretty good. Our defence, especially in that second half, like we just say in the second quarter, we dominated the first half. We absolutely played it, and we just couldn't put it on in the scoreboard pressure on. However, our defence in the second half was really good. I think we only conceded 15 points for the entire half. So if we look at it as that, that's a massive positive to be able to stop a side from scoring more than three or four goals. And obviously, I think they may have got a run on with four goals early in that second, so we didn't crack the Teague's gift of $5 at the moment. It also looked like Jones was spending a little bit more time deeper. He made a couple of costly errors in the first half, and I was thinking, but he backed it up and played a really good game at the end of the day. I felt like we were willing to take the time to choose the right option a little bit more in patches. I know we talked about playing tempo footy a bit, Chris, and I think we just adjusted to that a little bit better, obviously trying to choose the right option. Ball use probably still needs to be a little bit more cleaner.
I think we're a lot better through the centre, like we spoke about last week as well. But then I also feel that we really tapered off. Our forwards weren't as good as they could have been.
Yeah.
It was the delivery inside 50, which again killed us. There was, especially in that first quarter, there was probably three or four where they couldn't hit just couldn't quite make the distance, and the players were diving forward to try and mark it. So
I think Silvani had one to Betts from memory.
Yeah, and then Cripper had one to Soss. Yeah, so
we only had one more mark than the Hawks on stats, you know, inside 50 marks. So
I'll tell you what, it was good to see Zach Williams play another great game.
Yeah, I've got him down here. Yeah, and that was good.
He was good. Like, he's a halfback flanker. At the moment, it doesn't seem, because of the injuries he's had, missed a bit of preseason. Well, it looks like he hasn't got the tank to play for the midfielder yet.
No.
So he looks great off a halfback flank, which, again, as we've mentioned last week as well,
frees up Doherty.
Releases Doc.
Yeah.
And he, again, he showed some great poise and some great skill coming off that wing.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, putting Doherty up the ground, it also creates a little bit of more stability up the ground, I think, with our ball use at times. It creates a bit more of a dynamic half back line with Saad and Williams obviously running off the back line there. I think both of them got over 600 metres gained on the weekend. Their dash was good. Their ball use and their decision-making was something I noticed was really evident. And then, obviously, Williams to finish off with his first goal in navy blue was really good to see too.
Did you notice that you talked just before about we looked good in the centre?
Yeah.
But we actually got smashed in clearances.
Yeah.
The stoppage clearances was like 34 to 25, and total clearances was 45-37. So, again, Tom Mitchell got the ball 40 times. It doesn't damage you as much.
No, we said that last week.
We did talk about Mitchell last week and the impact he'd have. So
and we dominated the hitouts.
Yeah, I think it was. I think TDK and Pitto combined for the highest clearances to advantage. At one point there, actually, I think that's correct. I think they had the highest clearances to advantage, but now from what you were saying, maybe not.
Well, these are the stoppages and total clearances. Hawthorn have dominated.
The total clearances were 37-45, like you said. So
that's something we've got to clean up, because against good teams, because you remember Hawthorn are struggling and they're going through a rebuild.
Yeah.
And again, we looked good in patches, but then we go back to those same old ways where we just got to improve. Mm. If we want to be able to start winning and wanting to get to where we want to get to, we've got to stop those lapses.
Yeah, I think our 0-50 game players that we have compared to Hawthorn's probably stepped up a little bit better or have shown that they're a bit more progressed in their careers so far. Walsh and Cripps are really good.
I was just going to touch on that.
How good is Sam Walsh, though, seriously?
He is a star. Like, what's he, 50 games coming up this weekend, hasn't missed a game. It's just amazing to see what he's done in the first half of his career so far.
He runs everywhere.
And
did you see someone
clean.
Did a comparison
with Joel Selwood and Chris Judd?
Yes. And he's miles ahead.
He smashed him.
Miles ahead. Surprising how miles ahead he is of Juddy.
Yes.
That was the one that really got me. We were talking about it off air just before the Cripps, the... In the second half, just when the Eddie Betts goal from the square came, he's from the back line, his efforts to try get to the boy, then dishes it off. He keeps running to the next contest. He then keeps running, puts the shepherd and the block on for J-Sauce. That's what you want from your leaders on the ground. That shows a bit of leadership.
And I felt he was in it. He was really in the game that we've missed for the last few weeks. We've been talking about it, but he was right in there.
Yeah, what do you have, 10 tackles in the end, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
25 possessions.
25 possessions. So that's all you really are.
He actually looked like he was moving a bit freer this week.
Yeah.
Like in previous games, you could tell he was stiff and couldn't bend over. And so, but no, he certainly looked
up for the fight. Now, while we're there, before we move on, but I just need to know your thoughts. Lachie Plowman. He's been given 2 weeks by the MRO. We went to the tribunal. He got, it was upheld, so it stays. We went again. To contest it again, and got upheld. Mm. So he's got 2 weeks. What are your thoughts, Jesse?
Well, I think Teague summed it up really well in his presser. He spoke about it really well, like the fact that it's good by the club that they're defending their player, they're defending that. He looked like it was just in the contest, 50-50 ball. Unfortunately, with the way the rules are at the moment, we've seen Danger cop 3 weeks earlier on in the season. Obviously, this is a bit of a different contest in a way. I definitely thought Plowman was spoiling the ball. Or at least trying to maybe take the mark first.
They're just saying if he just had an intent to play or use a fist, he would have been able to get off. But because there was no actual intent on the ball,
I'll put it to you. The umpire on the day said, play on.
Yeah, that's that's it.
If you look at different angles, you can see that he has only got eyes for the ball. It's not as if he's lined him up.
It's just the picture frames make it look bad.
It was just in that last split second. And if you actually, I think it was somewhere in, someone put up a photo on Facebook. If you actually see it, who did he hit?
Omira.
His head actually hits Plowman's shoulder.
That's right.
Yeah.
So that's why they're saying it was a bump.
Mm.
But
it didn't really happen that way, did it? No. A quick one, though. What did you think of TDK? Back on the side.
Good to see.
Very excited.
He's going to be a superstar for this team. His tap work is just...
Yeah.
And because of his height, his reach, and his athleticism, he will be a superstar. He's just got to stay fit.
No Tom Hickey this week either for the Swans, I see.
They've got that Callum Sinclair back.
What did you think of Harry's goal? Like, wasn't his day. But
that was
goal. He just seems to be able to get his couple of goals a game. That's what's been really impressive with his season so far.
Wasn't he 55 out?
Oh, a bit longer.
Was it
a bit further, yeah.
Yeah, a bit longer. It was a massive kick. I've seen some, videos of people at the ground and stuff. It looks so impressive.
I had to watch that on my phone because I had to go get me COVID jabbed too. So I had to sit there and I'm sitting there and the doctor's been watching me phone.
I had to go yesterday for that. Let me just tell you, I was supposed to go to get a COVID yesterday and they refused to give it to me because they didn't believe I was over 50. But anyway.
Because they thought you were in the 70-year-old bracket, you old fool.
Anyway.
I'm just going to chime in too with a good old Ed Curnow taking home the David Parkin medal. Second.
Strong in the contest all day, wasn't he? I've got something as well, the sauce factor. There's something about the J sauce factor that... gets us playing really well. I think there was a stat the other week about like the point differential when he's in and out of the side, but he just makes our side look so much better. He's vital.
It's just that pressure he puts on in the forward
line. Yeah, it is.
The good thing is, you know when you have a forward line, you need that lead up and mark up player.
Yeah.
That's what he does. Like, he's not the tallest guy, but he does that quite well.
Got strong hands. Yeah. And he's a good kick.
Makes a contest too.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
Well, it's good. Well,
yeah, that's it.
It's good to actually
happy days.
To say that
go
we've
the Blues.
Let's hope we can back it up tomorrow.
Oh, geez, I hope so.
It'll be a good game tomorrow, I think.
Yeah.
I think it'll be a really good game.
Yep.
So, all right, that's great, Jesse. See, positive. We started off with a positive win, so we thought we'd start off with that. So anyway, Craig, over to you now for Blues injuries, ins and outs. Any updates?
Okay, well, we'll start off with this week. We're just talking about this young kid and what a great first 50 games it's been with Sam Walsh playing his 50th senior game on Sunday. And he'll just be the ninth Blue to reach a half century of games after an interrupted debut season. So... on a sad note, we lose Lachie Plowman for 2 weeks, as we just discussed. On some good news, Jack Martin is back. He's just going to add a bit of class around the middle and the forward line pressure and so forth. So he's recovered from his PCL injury pretty well. Director of High Performance, Andrew Russell, said he's just been training the house down the last few weeks and it's just got to the point where they just can't hold him back. We've also got Levi back from his 1 week of being managed. Paddy Dow, who was a late withdrawal due to his hamstring tightness, they're saying that he's going to be back this week as well. Zach Fisher, as we spoke to Zach last week, by all reports, he's pushing for selection
next week, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I was getting excited over
Hopefully, fingers crossed. Hopefully, it's going to be next week. On other news, Corey Durden will still be unavailable till after the mid-season clash. So, what are you doing?
No, keep going.
We're just admiring your glasses Craig.
Seriously, I'm going to get off this today. I'm going to ring my mum, and she's going to ring both of yous up, and you will not know what struck you. Because you don't mess with my mum.
Did everyone, listeners out there, I hope you all checked out our Facebook page. Take a look at last week's shot of these glasses and then, text us. Let us know what you think.
They're navy blue. So that's
but they've got the gold bit on it, mate.
Because I'm a blue supporter and I'm worth gold, mate.
I'm worth gold. Gold's worthy.
They've got a touch of the Dame Edna's about them.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, Craig.
Yeah, okay. So
Mark McClure.
On other good news is there's been some really good videos going around of Charlie Curnow.
Oh, it looks good, doesn't
it? Now, mate, he's running around, no strapping on the knee, and he looks absolutely ripped and fit and ready to go.
Is there any indication of how close we might be, Craig?
No news at all.
I couldn't find anything
either. They're just saying it's going to be later in the year, but...
Question. Does he come straight back in, or does he have to play twos?
Oh, I'd get him straight back in.
I'm not too... Yeah, that's a weird one, actually.
Do you know, a question on playing twos. I know Craig probably hasn't got there yet, but Murph has been dropped.
Let's get into the team, Mel. That's coming up. I'm doing the injuries first. Can you just
hold on, get on with it.
Okay, so we'll get on to the ins and outs, Mel. Outs, we have Murphy and Plowman. Murph is a strange one being omitted. I thought he played okay last week.
Must be a niggle or something.
There's got to be something.
There's got to be something behind there.
Why say omitted?
Yeah.
That's weird.
And not managed like we mentioned with Levi last week.
He's named as an emergency, isn't he, Murph?
Yes, he is.
Yeah. Yeah.
He is.
When I last checked, yeah.
But the bio reports that Honey's going to be the emergency sub anyway. So and Levi comes in for Plowman, so...
Will Levi play defence then, by the sounds
of it?
Or are they going to reshuffle the wing and maybe put Doherty back onto a wing? Or it's going to be an interesting one where they play Levi, whether it's behind the ball or up forward.
But they're not that tall.
They're big bodied, but they're not that tall.
Like Buddy?
No.
Yeah.
It just seems odd. Like the messaging has been like they want them to go earn their stripes, play consistent football, and be in form. And everyone loves Levi, but. Has he earned his spot in the side over Murphy as well, who's come off back-to-back games of 18 and 19 and kicked a goal? I don't know what more you want from your half forward.
Yeah, I'm not sure. We've gone very tall. Let's see if it works off.
It's meant to be raining too.
Is it?
Yeah. Apparently in Sydney it's meant to be raining.
And the only thing that basically happened during the week was, you've obviously seen the launch of the Indigenous jumper with our good mate Sid Jackson getting... stuck in the middle of it, so that was great to see.
Yeah, he was great.
He was awesome in the front bar.
So funny.
Bit to go on with that.
So that was good seeing that get launched too. It's we've got quite a few Indigenous players as well too, so it was good to see.
On that note, guys, it's Eddie Betts will actually equal and match Andrew McLeod's tally of 340 games as the third most ever in any Indigenous player in the VFL and AFL history on Sunday.
Going on his form, he can go around next year too.
100%. Definitely. I reckon.
I'm a big Eddie Betts fan.
Let's wait till the end of the year.
Yeah.
It's a lot more weeks to go. Yep, he's playing well at the moment, but let's just get a go. Don't jump the gun.
He gets me excited, Eddie.
So is that all you got, Craig?
Yep.
Is that nothing else?
I've got one more
thing. Okay, what have I missed?
One more thing. What about the off-field footage that our spectator
well done on
Hardigan. But then the AFL come out and said, we were investigating that.
Oh, they would have had it down the ground goals for sure. It's just the media didn't have that.
Yeah.
So that was great. All right. Well, that's good. That's good. Not bad for the first part of our show. All right. Time now to go for a break and a few words from our sponsors. And when we return, we cross live to the general manager of Hyundai WA, Michael Berros. Go Blues.
Go Baggers.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to 91.3 Sport FM's Breakfast with the Blues, hosted by your WA Blues. Now it's time to cross live to WA Blues major sponsor and general manager of Hyundai WA, Michael Berros. Good morning, Michael, and welcome to Breakfast with the Blues.
Good morning, Blue Baggers. How are we?
We're very well, mate. Mate, just before I pass you over to the panel to ask you some questions, mate, can you let the listeners know, how did you become a Carlton supporter?
Oh, boy, okay. I've been a member for 25 years, but a supporter, I reckon, I was about 10, 11 years old, about 40 years now. So, but like any little kid growing up in the late 70s, 80s, I loved the waffle, and for me, I grew up in the Swan Valley, so it was all about Swan Districts. But on ABC, every Sunday night with Drew Morfitt, there was a TV show called The Winners, and I loved it. I loved watching players like Hunter, Dool, Bazasto, Johnson, Fitzpatrick. They were covered head to toe in mud, and it got me hooked on the Blues. I just loved it. So I was 17 when the big mob in Perth come in, and they couldn't sway me. And now I'm a father of three, and our house is completely navy blue with the current three sons. Your favourite players are Cripper, Weeders and Harry at the moment. But that changes every week.
Mate, it's good to hear that you're stuck fat after the Eagles coming back in. When did they come in?
Absolutely.
92, whatever. 87, sorry.
86.
Yeah, okay, I'll pass you over to Craig.
Nice to meet you, mate. How are you?
Good, thanks, mate.
That's good. Hyundai have been a major sponsor of the club for over 20 years. How did it all begin, and what benefits do both parties get out of the relationship?
Yeah, look, Hyundai first jumped on the jumper in 1995, so it was the premiership year. I think they took over from CUB before Hyundai, and it's been a long partnership. So Hyundai love looking for longevity. They want endurance. They want a bit of energy with their partnerships. And, of course, the Blues have provided that. And Hyundai, what I'm proud about Hyundai is that they stuck with them. Now, it's been some good and some pretty not so good times, and Hyundai stuck with the club, and that's the passion that the club brings to the league, and Hyundai enjoy that loyalty. But most importantly, we love the strong community engagement, working with our members. Programs like Back Our Baggers from last year and the $1,000 cashback offer that's on at the moment. They're the things that we love working and getting into the grassroots of the true brew baggers out there that live in Australia.
Good morning, Michael. Mel here. Just touching on that, Hyundai actually became the first major sponsor of the AFLW team in its inaugural 2016 season. How's that relationship with the women's team been?
We love working with the women's team. So you look at it, you know, we see our products are quite innovative, and our products are a testament to how we think outside the box. And this is exactly the approach the club's taken with the AFLW, from the grassroots programs they run to seeing Darcy and Maddie running around on Princess Park. We love being in the trenches and working with the club to grow the women's game, women's sport in Australia, well, in WA for that matter, is massive at the moment, and the elite competitions are working hard to capture the imagination of the young girls that are growing up. So it's great to be a part of it. It's great to have that brand recognition with the women. Yeah, absolutely.
Morning, Michael. Hyundai WA are the major sponsor of the WA Blues. How have you seen that relationship, and what can be done better to have the WA current supporters engage more with Hyundai?
Yeah, look, firstly, I love the passion of the WA Blues. I've been to a couple of the functions, and, yeah, it gets pretty crazy. It's great, actually. I love being a part of it. I worked for 25 years with the other very prominent automotive partner of the AFL, and I joined Hyundai in 2018, and when I started, my brief for WA was to try and drive stronger community engagement. So I had a good look at what our portfolio is pretty empty, but I've been able to pick up partnerships with RAC Arena, Football West being Soccer, Sport West, but then I wanted to really leverage how we could extend and leverage the Carlton Football Club partnership in WA. I reached out to WA Blues, and they've been very accommodating. Look, there's not a lot that we do from our partnership end, but we love being a supporter. We love our name being a part of the WA Blues. This year, we're going to do some exciting things. I've spoken to Adam Briggs. We're going to put up some four seats into the Hyundai corporate suite at the RAC Arena. As part of a promotion he'll run, and we're also going to support with sending a couple of WA Blue Baggers over to Melbourne, and I think Adam trying to line up the John Nicholls medal. So there's a few things we're working on with Adam behind the scenes, and for us, they're important because it helps you guys engage with the WA Blue supporter network.
Michael, how are you going? Hey. I'll start again. I lost my teeth there for a minute. Must be my glasses that I'm wearing. Hyundai, you touched just recently with the $1,000 cashback. What other regular promotions do you have at games and that are available for members? And is there a latest promotion for Carlton members?
Yeah, the promotions we do at games, obviously, we're Perth based, so we don't get a lot of that because everything's held in Melbourne. But from a member perspective, I can tell you that I've just done a bit of work last week with the club, and in WA right now there's 3,163 adult members of a Carlton football club. So that's 18 years plus, 3,163. So what we're working on over July, August is working, what we're trying to do is allocate, we'll look at where all our members live in WA and work with the local dealership to go out and offer some special offers over and above the $1,000 cashback. So, if, for example, if you lived in the Midland area, or Midland Hyundai may offer free servicing for 3 years on the purchase of a new Hyundai on top of the $1,000 cashback. But we're just working through that at the moment. It won't roll out until July. It's already started on the East Coast, and I've had some feedback that Essendon Hyundai, for example, smashing it with Carlton members. Wagga 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 Hyundai, Canberra Hyundai, they're all out there offering personalised offers. So just something we can do that is just over and above the $1,000 cashback to look after our members on the ground. And naturally, members are welcome to go to the Hyundai website at any time. And I'm also happy to channel calls through our office at the state office to help members out of any inquiries. And we can push them into the right area in terms of which dealers they can deal with and going forward. So, yeah, trying to be hands-on is very important. We roll up sleeves and get bang for buck in terms of our partnerships.
Mate, that's fantastic. I can tell you, Craig sitting next to me drives a Hyundai
Tucson.
He got the i35 Highlander as well.
So there you go. So they're all driving Hyundais. Yep. And as you mentioned,
beautiful. The old iLoad too. I used to have an iLoad. Beautiful car.
Thank you very much. Well done.
And also, too, on the WA Blues website, we have the link to Hyundai WA. So anyone on our website want to have a look at it, get onto the link and go straight through. Sorry, Mel.
Michael, you're the chairman of Sports West, the peak industry body for sports in WA. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about Sports West and, in particular, your role?
Yeah, sure. Sport West, I guess, is similar to what a housing industry is, or an RAC industry is, to Automotive Farmers Federation. We are the peak body for sport. Sport in WA, a lot of people don't realise how big it is. It's massive. So when you add up, you know, participants, coaches, admin, volunteers, we're talking about 1.1 million West Aussies involved with sport. Sport West, as I said, is the peak body. We've got about 133 members, ranging from, you know, for the life of the WA Football Commission, for example, to Basketball WA, Lawn Bowls WA, right down to sport like darts. They're all members of the Sports West. We like to position ourselves as the voice of sport. As we think we form a very valuable conduit between State Sporting Association and the state government. My role as chairman, well, basically guide the board and support our CEO, Matt Fulton, in ensuring he gets the appropriate resource and support to fulfil his role. And I've said it many times before, if you look at sport, you know, health, education, roads, they get the lion's share of budget every year from the government, and it's our job to try and position sport as a very valuable tool for communities. I personally believe sport is the fabric that gels our community. Look at it socially, physically, mentally. It's got a critical role to play. And last year was a great example, right? We all sports suffered with COVID and not being able to run out onto the park every week. But when we bounced back, what was leading the way? Sport. Sport led the way in the bounce back. And, you know, looking at registration numbers, this year for junior sport, there's record numbers everywhere, from whether it be AFL, soccer, netball, hockey. Juniors are packing into sports. There's a real hunger for it. In fact, I'm about to leave in about 5 minutes to take my son to go and play soccer for Trinity. My other son's playing AFL this morning for Mount Hawthorn and Cardies. I can't be at both. I got to pick. So, you know, it's wonderful. I love being part of it. I love the passion. And this is what I said earlier, the clubs at the elite level, whether it be Carlton or someone else, The work they do drilling down to grassroots is so important. So not only does it lock someone into their brand for years to come, but, you know, it just keeps everything healthy and happy. Healthy communities are happy communities, and I love being a part of sport and what it does for Western Australia.
I totally agree. And I had young kids a while ago. Being involved with the sporting club in the community, it's the best thing. It actually helps the kids, keeps them on the straight and narrow with that community involvement. Yep. And I totally agree with you, and you're doing a wonderful job. I just wanted to know, how the hell do you get time to actually do all this with your day job, and then you do this as well?
I've got a very very supportive family. You wouldn't do it if you didn't enjoy it. I love it, and we'll be watching the Blues tomorrow afternoon. We want to go back-to-back. We're pretty confident. My boys love it. They get pretty angry when they don't win. I was lucky because I got to see in my childhood a couple of premierships. So my oldest is 17. He's been a member since he was born. And he said, and I love him because he's just patient.
Yeah.
He rides with the air. He's going to get his chance. He'll get his moment in the sun, but it'll come. We know it will. And but, yeah, I love the passion, and that's what it's all about.
I totally agree. My son was born the year after we won in 95, so the poor bugger's been a member all that time. Hasn't seen much success.
I was born in 99.
There you go.
My son was born in 89. He's 6 years old, but he can't remember the 95. But then again, I can't either. So just touching on tomorrow's game, obviously we're coming off the win last week. How do you think we're going to go tomorrow against the Swans in Sydney?
Well, I think I had a chat with someone yesterday. I think the game tomorrow, SCG, small ground, going to be a battle of midfields. It's one kick into that forward line. When you've got Harry, Levi, Jack Martin, Eddie sitting down there, we can't get it together tomorrow.
Yeah.
The other end of this ground, they'll keep Buddy under control, and let's just have a great, enjoyable game. I really do think the midfield is our chance to shine tomorrow.
Yeah, definitely.
Totally agree. Anyway, mate, look, we better wrap it up. Mate, on behalf of the entire WA community, thank you very much for sharing some of your precious time today. As you mentioned earlier, under your leadership, you've once again helped out us with the season raffle, providing part of the first prize. Mate, you're always there to help out the WA Blues, and for that we're very grateful for your continued support. And as always on this show, mate, go Blues.
Go Blues.
Go Blues.
Yeah, good on you,
guys.
Thank you. Go Blues.
Thanks, Michael.
See ya.
Michael Barris, very, very, very open and forthright.
Yeah.
Spoke very well. He must be a very busy man, I can tell you.
Yeah. Oh, mate, what he's got going on, I don't know how he finds the time.
No, it's true. Anyway, Mel, what have we got in AFL? You've only got a couple of minutes. But
well, I'm going to talk about this Guernsey that I'm wearing today. And I'm going to start. It's been designed by Laura Thompson. Laura actually is part of the foundation that created the Free the Flag shirts last year. We would have all saw for Indigenous Round.
Yep.
She's actually worked with our seven Indigenous players. So we've got Eddie Betts, Liam Jones, Jack Martin, Zach Williams, Sam Petrescu-Seaton, Maddie Pisprakis, it gets me every time, and Natalie Plain. So on our Guernsey, it's actually got their names of their mob on each side.
Yeah, I saw that. I can see it on the Guernsey right now.
So, and then we've also got the campfires over the shoulder of the jumpers here that is meant to embrace the whole Carlton family, signifying the board, the staff, members, all the supporters. It's just I'm proud to be wearing one right now.
It looks good.
It looks good. Yeah, looks good. Really.
And we're going to be wearing it for 2 weeks in a row by the sounds of it, which
we
is
will.
Good.
Yeah. Yes, and very interesting. Flipping from our Guernsey, last night's game.
Yeah.
Did you guys see Melbourne not in their Indigenous Guernsey?
Yeah, they weren't allowed to. Wouldn't let them.
They were saying no, it's a clash.
There was no clash.
Have you guys actually seen it?
Yeah. Yeah.
There is no clash. No. It's just ridiculous. I don't know.
Whoever's in charge of that down the AFL, when they had those Guernseys for Anzac Day, Collingwood, Essendon, if they thought there wasn't a clash,
they were.
But yeah,
there's a distinct difference between Bulldogs and Melbourne's jersey.
Yeah,
and it's the Melbourne one is red and
it's more red.
Blue.
It's more red.
Anything.
Who knows?
And another thing I'm just going to quickly touch on is that the trade period for the AFLW actually kicks off on Monday and goes through until the 25th of June. There's a few different processes that they're going through, but kicks off the 31st. We've already done a couple of signings, including Darcy Vesio and Jess Hosking. We're still, everything's still up in the air. I'm sure everyone's heard about Taylor Harris. Mm.
Where do you reckon she'll go?
Nowhere. Well, no
actually,
one wants her.
There's actually speculation. Yeah. That she's just going to focus on her boxing. But
what a shame.
Once her price come up, everyone said 150,000. No.
Guys, if you actually look in it, and I'm a Taylor fan.
So am I.
I've got
don't
Taylor
get me wrong.
On my wall. If you actually break it down, the figures that have come out is the package that she was already on was already up
correct.
There. So she was only asking for about 15 to 20K more.
This is the media again.
This
building
is the media
up.
Building yeah. things
she's
up.
She's great for marketing and all that. It's probably worth it. Maybe from her actual season, the way she went about it, like, kicking four goals in a season of football probably doesn't.
She had a bit of a poor season.
Yeah, she had a bit of a poor season, but she can back it up. Yep.
If she had a good season, I'd not hesitate to say bang, but.
Because she's great for the game.
Yeah, she is.
She is. She's a really
she's
good
dynamic
marketing.
And yeah, she's just such a great
fantastic.
Role model for our.
It'd be
young
a shame
girls.
To lose her
it
for a year,
be.
And especially from Carlton, too.
And then how do you come back from that? You know, if you have take 12 months off not playing, you know, would she
lose
come
a bit
back?
Of touch.
Yeah. Mm. But another
she's
thing.
She's got a great boxing career.
Another sad note, we did mention the other week that we have lost Katie Loynes. But she's actually looking like she's going to be signing for GWS.
Yeah, I'll wait and see.
And Alison Downing to Collingwood, guys.
Yeah, I can't fathom Katie in a GWS jumper.
Yep. Anyway, look, that's good. Great interview with Michael Barris. Anyway, time once again to go for a break and a few words from our sponsors. But when we return, we get our great mate, David Rees-Jones.
You will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dark Blues.
Welcome back. You're listening to Breakfast with the Blues, hosted by the WA Blues. It's time now to give a very warm welcome to our great mate here on Breakfast with the Blues, 1987 Norm Smith medalist, premiership hero, and the man who personifies everything that bleeding blue means as we barrel shoulder first into the shirt front. I speak, of course, of none other than the hyphen, Mr. David Rees-Jones. Good morning, David. How are you today?
Good morning, guys. Very good after a good win last week. Not a great win, but we got the 4 points, and that was the main thing.
Mate, that was the main thing. Before we get into it, mate, how are you going in lockdown down there, buddy?
Well, we get used to it down here. So, and I'm not one who follows rules very well, so I do my own thing anyway. But it's not ideal at the moment. And I'm actually, my 15-15 campaign's hit a bit of a hurdle too because I can't get around it and finish it off. But anyway, we'll see what happens. We might be able to do something.
I saw that, mate. Was it fortunate or something that all of a sudden Dougie Hawkins is out the front or somewhere where you're working and you actually got him on the
oh, yeah, I've seen that one.
Yeah, I was actually heading into a job and I rang the guy at that job because he knows Dougie fairly well too. And I said, you don't know where Dougie's working at the moment? And he said, yeah, it's at my job. And I said, good, I'm on the way in. And I was able to grab Dougie. So. And I got have a Sid Jackson just before the lockdown, but anyway, I'm too short at the moment, so I'll work something out.
That's my problem, Bob. I'm too short.
and he's way too short. By about a foot. We're just talking before about the win last week, but an ugly win is a good win, but. We also said that it was actually good that this time that I think Hawthorn got four in a row, so we actually hit the habit, you know, put a stop to that rather than getting 6-7. So that was a bit of a bonus for us, I think. But I thought we dominated the first half without actually putting the score on the board.
Yeah, I think that, and I only saw the first half. Well, actually, on the 60th last week, and we ended up starting town, but. I get into the room and flick the telly on, and there's no Foxtel on. Anyway, but a couple of people actually told me I was pretty lucky because it wasn't pretty watching. So I haven't had a chance during the week to get back and have a look at that second half. But as you say, an ugly win's, you know, get the 4 points is better than losing the other way.
Mm-hmm.
Morning, Hyfe. Do you reckon this week we might notice the or come to realise the importance of Lachie Plowman playing in the defence for us? And what was your take on the contest as well?
Yeah, I got interviewed here mainly about the other one, Holman one, but I did mention the Plowman one as well. I mean, when two players are competing for the same ball, we play a contact sport, and they're slowly taking parts of that contact out, and all I saw was two guys with their eye on the ball and going hard at it. So it's disappointing, and I thought they might have got up on appeal, but obviously the VFL are really conscious of the head knocks and that these days. So it's going to get to a crazy stage. Any accidental bump to a head now will be a reportable offence and a suspended. You know, you're going to get suspended these days, and it's not really. Because, look, non-contact sports, but players get knocked out in basketball and other sports that are non-contact. So accidents do happen. I think they've got to take that into account and look at the intent of, if Plowman had just run in and shirt run in the old-fashioned way, probably fair enough. But you can see, it's hand extended. The umpire didn't give a free kick. I think... Holman won too. He played a free kick to Holman on the Gold Coast up there. So I think the umpires got it right. I think the tribunal got them both wrong.
Yeah, totally.
Sorry, well, then Holman got off, of course.
Yep.
Hi, it's Mel here. How are you going today?
Yeah, good, thanks, Mel. Yeah, all good.
Good. Just want to get your take on something. I don't know, if you said you didn't get the second half, you might not have seen Teague spray and actually he pretty much lost it for the first time I've seen Teague actually go hard. But people are saying, Bob Murphy came out and said that he thinks it's a real concern because our players are just getting too complacent. And to push Teague to that point where it obviously the spray worked because we came back in the second half and we did come home with the win. But does Teague need to continually be losing the plot?
Well, it's not losing the plot. It's the frustration we all feel. And I think I'd like to see David Teague show a lot more emotion. I think at times he's a bit too calm and calculated and deliberately. You need to have a bit of emotion as a coach and portray that onto the players. You don't go out and give them a spray every time you talk to them. If you do it sparingly, it can really have some impact on the playing group because they wouldn't have copped a spray like that before and off David Teague. So that would have been something new to them and smart a few of them up and obviously got us across the line.
Just with tomorrow's game, David, it's a different size ground that Sydney ground.
Yep.
And it comes down to getting it out of the middle. I think this is one game that our midfield's got to dominate.
Yeah, have to. And we have to put a lot of pressure on their midfield too. So we've got to squeeze them up because, Harry McKay, he could have a day out, because it's the sort of ground that the full forwards, the centre-half forwards normally get neglected, but it'll go straight into full forward and that's why, over the years, whether it was Capper or Jackson, I think he had 10 goals up there many, many years ago. It's a ground where it can really work well for the full forwards. And we need to get that, win the contest, win the clearances and get it in quick. It's a pretty hard way to defend if you're playing fullback at the SCG. It's one of those grounds a little bit shorter, so The centre forward has to play a different type of game. But up the other end, they got Buddy too. So, we need to be right on top of him as well.
What do you make of the Levi change? Do you think he'll play in defence or do you reckon he'll play up forward? Or do you reckon they'll reshuffle it around?
Look, it really is an interesting one. We're going in taller than we have. So I think they'll try and stretch him up forward. I think they'll attempt that. But then you're looking at it going, well, where does De Koning fit in? And Pitnet when they're resting and so forth. So we are going in pretty tall, and I'm really interested to see the tactics behind that. That very well could be that Levi plays back because, it's one of those grounds where the ball will be coming in long and strong on occasions, and maybe they could fit him back in there to, you know, to be that that cog in defence that keeps repelling it.
Hi, you just mentioned that you caught up with Sid Jackson for your 15-15 challenge. Sid actually was down at the club during the week with the presentation of the new Indigenous Guernsey. Do you think, like, Sid has been such an ambassador for these rounds and, you know, trying to make it so publicly aware of the racism that he got copped while he was playing, the taunts and everything like that. Do you think having someone like Sid at the club during the week is really going to fire up the boys to get him across the line?
Oh, yeah, look, it doesn't hurt. He's, you know, I'm not too sure what his role was. I think it might have been more for photo shoots and that type of thing than actually talking to players. I'm not too sure whether they did get him in to have a chat to the players, but he's got a great story. And, if he did get to impart it on to the players, they'd be up and going. And, you know, we've got a few Indigenous boys in this week, so hopefully they can fire up for the Doug Nicholls round of footy this week. And, we'll wait. Wait and see what happens, but he's a great bloke, Sid. And managed to have quite a few beers with him over the years. Quite sprightly for a 76-year-old too at the moment. So he's moving okay, and he's had a few little medical hiccups. I think he's had some hernia operations over the last week. But he seems in good nick at the moment.
Yeah, he goes all right. We've had him at a few functions over here. We bring him up on special occasions, and mate, I look at him like the Aboriginal Bob Hawke, mate. He can he put the pots back?
Can he ever?
They've got a bit in common there, him and Bob Hawke, I suppose.
One interesting in also this week, it's finally good to get Jack Martin back. I think he'll add a bit of that class around the ball, and also that danger going forward as well.
Yeah, he's got that real X factor, and he's good overhead, and I just don't think we've seen glimpses of the best of him, but I think the best is yet to come with him. I think he's just starting to realise that he could really step up into that A grade type of class. He's that good, and let's hope he can get a few games on the trot and start showing that sort of form. He's one of those players that's got that X factor, and that's what we need out there.
Yeah. Hi, who do you reckon will go to Buddy? Do you reckon it'll be obviously it'll be out of Jones and Wiedering, but which one would you put on?
Yeah, look, I'd give Jones a crack at it to start with. To be honest, I'd prefer to see Wieders sort of doing that. His intercept marking, and that's been sensational this year, and he reads the play so well. So I'd rather see Wieders in that sort of position and Liam playing pretty tight on Buddy. I think it'd be a great contest too, because, it's a big challenge. In great form last week, Buddy, and come off a best on ground performance. So he's obviously hitting his straps at the moment, and he'll be in front of his home crowd and be keen to do well. So let's hope we can negate him down there, but I'd go with Jonesy, I think, to start with anyway.
I've been following, obviously, the 15-15, like all of us have in here, with your challenge. Now, I think you still had a few more days to go, but you said it's gone into turmoil. The fundraising is going quite well. Have you quite reached the 10 grand yet, Hive?
No, we're a little bit short, so anyone out there, they can...
I've got
donate it. Catch up on Facebook and look me up and donate there. And thanks to all the people in the West and obviously you guys for donations too. Every little bit helps. So it'd be great to smash the 10,000 get it up to 15 or so. But, wait and see how we go and slowly getting there.
We've got a function on Sunday to watch the game, so we're going to be putting it out there to everyone to get behind. So hopefully we can crack that 10K for you, mate.
Yeah, fantastic. Thanks very much. Yeah, well, I'm hoping it, I think we're up to about 9.5 at the moment, so I'm hoping we can crack that today and then get a few more bucks in there. It's all going for a great cause.
Mate, Chris Brownie will throw that in for you. just put a sign Guernsey up for auction, mate. He'll buy it.
Run out of them, I have.
No, he hasn't. He loves them.
Give them away when we were playing. Yeah, yes. Never worried about it. Anyway.
All right, mate. Look, we better wrap it up there. And as Mel said, and we'll keep plugging the 15 for 15. As you know, we keep sharing it on all the different Facebook pages for all the groups for Carlton supporters, and we'll spruik it all here in the West. And as always, mate, let's hope we're up and about next week with a win. And go Blues, mate.
Go Blues.
Yeah. Big day tomorrow, so let's hope they can get two in a row. Yep. Go Blues.
Thanks, cheers, Dave.
See you, Dave.
Thanks,
Dave. Bye.
David Rhys-Jones. Look, everyone out there, if you're listening, get onto his Facebook page. He's doing a great job for his son, Cooper, the Prada Willie Foundation. He wants to raise $10,000. It's getting close. He's doing 15 for 15. But as he said, it's grinded to a halt because they're in lockdown in Melbourne and he's got three to go, but he can't get out and do them. Yes,
can I just say that it is very easy to do? I got on last night and I did not have a problem and I am computer stupid. So
guys, if Craig can do it, anyone can do it.
So there's no excuse not to do it, people.
He's lucky because he would have got ragged out had he not done it on the show, I can tell you. Anyway, look, we've only got a few more minutes to go before we wrap up for the day. But as mentioned before, we've got a function tomorrow at the Carlisle Hotel and Distillery, Sunday the 30th of May. Game starts at 1:20, Sydney Swans v the Blues. Get there a bit earlier. A few of us might get there earlier, have lunch. Mm. There'll be no crossover. There'll be no Eagles game, so we've got the free-to-air, so it's all us.
That's good.
It's on the big screen in the front of the beer garden. Free members raffle for those who show their 2021 membership card.
Good prize. I won that last one.
You won that?
Well, the old man did.
The old man. Well done.
Definitely claimed a lot of it.
And tomorrow, we're actually going to raffle off the signed Jack Martin Guernsey with a certificate of authenticity, which is always framed perfectly by Master Picture Framers by
brilliant job.
Blair and Maria Buckingham down there. A great, great. So get down there. Come down and enjoy the game. Let's hope we have a win. Watch it with other Carlton supporters. As I said, it's our game. There's no Eagles there. Mm. So it's all ours.
Don't have to worry about old Billy Willie Rioli.
No, don't have to worry about him. Also, too, come down tomorrow. We've also got another function. If you go to our website, and we'll be promoting that after this game. But the one after that is Saturday the 19th of June against the Giants. Game starts at 5:25 in the beer garden. The same. We've got that game. It's the only Saturday night game, so it's all us. And remember, we've got the food. We've got the spit roast, the pizzas, the a la carte menu.
Look at Jesse's lips. Look at Jesse's lips.
Jesse loves the spit roast.
It's good.
We've got the $7 pints, the $6 house vodkas, the $6 Captain Morgan's, the $35 jugs of cocktails for Mel, the $10 kids meal, which includes the meal, the drink and dessert. So get down there. Come along. Support us. And remember, everything that we auction off or we raffle off, everything goes back to the Carlton Footy Club. So we're non-for-profit, so we're there to help you enjoy yourself and watch a game with other Carlton members and supporters, so get along. That's it, guys. Thanks for the show. Another wonderful show. I thought Michael Berros
spoke really well, didn't he?
Was fantastic.
Yep.
Really does support the WA Blues, Hyundai WA, with their sponsorship, and he's great. Anytime we ask for something, we get it. He's fantastic, and as he said, he's a one-eyed Carlton supporter and a member.
Good cars at Hyundai too. I've got a couple in the family, so they do well.
My two sons a treat.
Yep, treat. So anyway, thanks for another great show, guys. Thanks to David Rhys-Jones. And as I mentioned earlier, get out and support his foundation for his son, Cooper. Get on the page and donate. Do what you can. Another shout out to Michael Berros. Thank you very much. So keep listening to 91.3 Sport FM. And as always, go Blues.
Go Blues.
Go the Baggers.